Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Modern Cotton Story podcast. I'm Ray Daniels, North American Sustainability Manager here at BASF, and also the program lead for the E3 Sustainable Cotton Program and host of today's show. And also, I'm joined by Gertie Textile Organization partner, Bob Anishak, today. Bob, how you doing?
Ray, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Hope your things are good in your neck of the woods.
Things are great, Bob. It's always a great day to be on the podcast with you talking about sustainability and cotton. So thank you for setting us up today. I also am very happy to introduce today's guest, Liza Shiloh, who is a widely recognized leader in the front of sustainability and in the apparel industry. And Liza specializes in raw materials and sourcing as well. But Liza, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me, Ray. And it's so nice to see you again, Bob.
Hey, Liza.
Awesome. Thank you, Liza, for being again. Liza, you've had a pretty accomplished career in the field of sustainability. I mean, we were talking earlier and looked through LinkedIn and your background. You have just done a lot of different things in this field. You've held various positions in the field of environmental, social, and governance, ESG metrics. And you were most recently with Perfect Day as Director of Sustainability and Social Impact. Before that, you were also with Levi Strauss as Senior Manager of Global Product Sustainability. So, you know, over the years, I know you've had a particular interest in raw materials like cotton, from fabrics to yarns and different fibers. Would you please talk about your background so our listeners can learn more about who you are?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina. Honestly, I credit my passion for sustainability to coming up there. I spent all my waking hours playing in the woods or on a farm, and I think you just develop a sense for connection to the world that's tough to get any other way. So I got my bachelor's in environmental studies at UNC. I finished college right around the time, I'm sure you all remember, when Al Gore and the IPCC were issuing their very public warnings about climate change. I moved up to D.C. and spent a couple years both on and off of Capitol Hill before deciding that politics was not for me and went back to school. I did an MBA and a Master of Environmental Management at Duke University, and that allowed me to pivot into the private sector. And that's where I've spent most of the last decade working in apparel sustainability for Levi Strauss. And I'd say at Levi, just at a very high level, my time was spent largely developing global strategies for sustainability, setting targets, and building cross-functional teams. I focused on a couple different issue areas, one primarily being sustainable cotton sourcing. Second is setting and implementing the company's science-based climate target. And then in the last couple years, I was focused on standing up an ESG disclosure and reporting program for the company. But relevant to our talk today, it's worth mentioning, I also sat on the board of the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. So I got to be part of those conversations around developing a standard for more sustainably grown U.S. cotton.
Pretty cool stuff.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell. Boy, you know, your experience in the industry is really pretty cool. And you and I have known each other a long time. But it's been fun watching you working, you know, running through your career. I think we got to know each other. I guess you were at Levi's, I think, when we first got to know each other, I think.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. It must have been one of the conferences. Yeah,
I think so. So again, your background is like really cool and really detailed and very impressive. But a question that, you know, I always like to ask people who have some experience in the apparel business, you know, and sustainability is kind of like, what do you see as the big challenges that the industry is facing when it comes to things like ESG and environmental sustainability and, you know, related types of activities? What are kind of the big challenges that you see?
Honestly, two things really come to mind, and one is going to be pretty obvious to those familiar with the apparel industry, but one perhaps less so. So first, I think that because most of a brand's footprint occurs outside of its direct control, it just creates a lot of challenge, right? Products are made by suppliers that the brand doesn't own, operating in other parts of the world, selling to consumers all over the world. And so the product is really in the hands of the brand for just a fraction of its lifetime. And that's not an excuse, but it makes it a lot more challenging to measure impact, manage impact, and prove your progress. You're working through varying levels of influenceability and language barriers, data collection and verification, which is an issue I could talk about for hours, and much less influencing the consumer to participate and probably pay a little more is a whole another thing. But to that, I'll say that the apparel industry does have something going for it in all of that, which is that it's a very collaborative industry. I think that's by nature of the supply chain. You know, apparel companies share manufacturers and fabric mills and cotton merchants. And so there's a strong incentive to work together. And there are a lot of really incredible industry organizations, I think, that are focused on convening the industry around some common goals. But the second challenge I would speak to is a bit more subtle, and that would be the disconnect between source and destination. You know, the average consumer doesn't really give any thought to the fact that their t-shirt's fabric was grown on a plant in a field by a farmer. And we see this in food too, right? It's an agricultural sector challenge. I'd be willing to bet that most folks listening to this podcast have the luxury of not needing to think about where our cotton or our food comes from. And I think that this disconnect fuels an apathy for the resources that go into the cultivation of that cotton. So to get, you know, to get people to care, and by people, I really mean our key stakeholders, right? So our consumers, policymakers, investors, to get them to care, they first have to be aware of the resource issues that we're talking about that are associated with the manufacturing of clothing. I think that's a challenge.
Thanks for that, Liza. I mean, those are some pretty significant challenges. Just bridging off the second challenge you shared about awareness, you know, I think it comes down to the raw material. So a question I have for you around cotton is, you know, there's a lot of different textile materials available. So what's your take on cotton itself? I know you've worked with cotton from all over the world and have obviously some extensive experience with NGOs and sustainability programs throughout the supply chain. But how do you see cotton itself in terms of usefulness in apparel design and its overall effectiveness as a sustainable raw material?
So from a design point of view, cotton is supremely versatile, right? I own very finely woven scarves for summers and a heavy pair of jeans that I think will last for decades. It's soft, it's breathable, it's easy to launder. It employs millions of farming households all over the globe. So I'm a fan. But from a sustainability point of view, when grown, you know, caveat there, when grown using sustainable practices that really prioritize fostering a healthy biodiverse soil, like intercropping or cover cropping, no and low till farming, cotton, as well as other natural fibers, have the potential to really positively impact the ecosystem around it. You know, anything from pollinator health to soil stabilization and water retention. But I would call out probably most urgently, agriculture is really the only tool that we have, at least the only tool at scale that we have, to not only reduce our carbon emissions, but also reverse them. Renewable energy and electric vehicles will reduce our carbon emissions, but sustainable agriculture practices in which we're really managing the health of the soil actually moves carbon from the air into the soil, what we call carbon sequestration.
Liza, you know, it's interesting. And a lot of folks in the clothing business, they talk about cotton a lot, but they've sometimes never been on a farm. And I know that's not your case. You've been on a lot of farms all around the world. So having said that, and how important is that transparency in supply chains for you? And as sort of a second question too, what are the kind of the key metrics that you look for in terms of how cotton is grown? I mean, you know, things like water usage and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I think that transparency is the foundation for sustainability. You know, when all actors have visibility into the causes and effects of all roles across the supply chain, it becomes much easier to prioritize your hotspots that need working on. And it also enables us to work together and to hold each other accountable. I think that's so important. And on metrics, yeah, you've got it with water usage. I'd call out soil health, which is a challenge to measure. We're working on that. Also chemicals usage, you know, pesticides, fertilizers, herbicides. And I'd include carbon emissions in that as well. Though metrics are tricky when it comes to agriculture, as I don't have to tell you this, but they don't tell the whole story, right? A highly sustainable cotton operation in West Texas may still require more water than a rain-fed crop in central India. And so, you know, and then that'll change from year to year, just as an example. So for me, the question is less about what metrics we're using and more on how we use those metrics to inform our conversations around continuous improvement and rewarding good performance without creating negative side effects.
Just as a quick, I was curious to get your take. The term regenerative agriculture has become really popular in the clothing business. Is that just a buzzword for the garment trade, or is what's behind it? Not a lot of rain jumping on this too, obviously. So
I can go first. It's not a buzzword, but it is becoming a lot more nebulous in the same way that words like natural and sustainable and eco-friendly are becoming. I worry about that. But the concept of regenerative to me really does mean, it just means truly sustainable. We're talking about creating a system or fostering a system that is circular in nature so that we're not wasting resources, but rather like feeding the products and byproducts into another part of the system. So I'm a huge fan of regenerative agriculture, and really it's a very old concept that is fortunately now being brought into the limelight at a much greater scale today. And so I'm encouraged by the conversations. I think there's huge potential there, you know, and what I mentioned earlier about soil health leading to carbon sequestration, I think that's a major driver for regenerative agriculture practices. The benefits of that, the one thing I would flag about it is we run the risk of getting pigeonholed and focusing only on one metric, right? Like carbon, soil carbon, when we also need to be considering like biodiversity and water retention and, you know, the other things that really build out a full and healthy ecosystem. So that's the only word of caution I'd shout out with regenerative.
That's great. I mean, I'd say to answer that question about regenerative, I think about it like an old pair of jeans, like what I was mentioning earlier, you know, they never quite go out of style. They tend to have a lot of usefulness to the farm itself. And that's really, you know, I think we hear a lot about the term regenerative in the market and in the press and the media and from brands. The reality is a lot of these practices are not new. In many cases, farmers have been incorporating some of these practices for decades, just by nature of being efficient on the farm. And so others are exploring new ways to incorporate things like biodiversity, habitats, conservation, cover cropping, and you name it. So, to me, I just, Eliza's spot on. I think there's so many elements to it. It's kind of a hard term to pin down, but I feel that, you know, in many ways, it's nothing new. But speaking of that on farm, Eliza, you mentioned earlier about, you know, you seem to have a really strong passion for the farm and for being out there and obviously knowing the practices, you know, let's talk about some of those experiences. I mean, what has been your experience getting on farm with with cotton growers and producers and seeing some of these practices in action?
Sure. I have visited farms around the globe, and I've met with farmers from China and India and Pakistan and of course the US and Australia. And some of my favorite memories from working in apparel have been on cotton farms. I could, share a few stories, but I just find the idea of agriculture as a tool for environmental protection so fascinating. It's just such a win-win to me. And, you know, to your point of, you know, it's bringing up old practices that we find work just because of trial and error over generations, right, on the farm, and really bringing that to light and sharing best practices. Getting into the weeds of this topic with farmers is something that I do really enjoy. And there's something that you learn by going through that experience of meeting with someone on the ground that you just don't get from reading or watching videos or whatever. And I think it's important for brands to meet with the producers of their raw materials. I would love to see more of that. You know, when you can have that conversation to understand the constraints and priorities on a farm, what moves farmers to consider the topic of sustainability or climate action. You know, it's coming back to what we've hit on with awareness and on transparency too. When we can understand the other party's goals and drivers, we can really work together so much more effectively. It's so important for us to hear each other so we can help each other, because I believe that we all share the ultimate goal, right? Which is a stable, healthy planet. And so how can we work backwards from that and build a plan together? And something that I'd love to have in future conversations is really getting a pulse check on the farming community. You know, how have the past few years of all of this increased discussion in the public sphere and the political sphere around the topic of climate change and the role of agriculture influenced their farming practices or their own conversations? You know, I'm wondering if you and Bob have heard anything on the front lines about that at all?
Well, I was going to ask you a follow-up question there on the community. Yes. So you kind of dovetailing into that. Speaking of the community, you mentioned, you know, earlier people employed by this, about, you know, people employed in the cotton farming space and the community aspect. When you think of sustainability, and we talk a lot about environment, but where does the community aspect play in for farmers? And when it comes to this, just from a sustainability perspective, where do you see that fitting in?
And you mean the community as in other apparel industry players?
No, like community, or like the farming community. You know, you have the family farms, people in those local, smaller, you know, local, smaller towns growing cotton and that aspect. There is a community piece to that. It's a social aspect. And I'm just curious, like, where do you see that playing into the overall bigger sustainability narrative that we tell around cotton?
I think it should be central. I think that, you know, a brand can run studies all day long that reveal what challenges they have to their supply chain and where they need to be focused. But at the end of the day, they've got to be open to having those conversations with suppliers and with farmers. And I think that in my experience, farmers often get left out of those conversations or, you know, their experience goes overlooked. And I think to really affect change, absent of any regulatory intervention, we need to be having those dialogues between our farming communities and our brands and retailers. Because again, if we share the same goals, then we ought to be able to connect and find a common language for achieving those goals. So I think that putting the farmer at the center of these conversations on improving the footprint of our cotton industry is critical. And that does drive social impact. You know, there are millions of people around the globe that farm cotton. It's not an insignificant space. And so it's very important to see how we bring everybody to the table.
Very cool. Liza, here's a question, I guess from a brand's perspective, an apparel brand's perspective. As you look at the cotton industry in general, and I use cotton industry kind of loosely because obviously, like you were just talking about, and Ray were just talking about cotton community. That's for sure the backbone of the cotton business. Then there's an industry that's built on top of that. You know, there's an agricultural industry that supports those farmers and then represents the farmers and so forth. But as you look at that infrastructure, and again, I'm calling it the industry, cotton industry. Do you have any advice on how the industry should portray itself to brands in terms of sustainability? You know, again, I'm thinking in terms of when their first touch point typically is a textile mill, but ultimately it's the brands who have to carry a message and then stand behind something, right? Like we were talking about earlier, you know, so any advice that you would be willing to share?
see, some considerations I'd say come to mind. And I won't pretend to be an expert telling someone what to do, but I do think that what comes to mind first is for something to work, at least for a major, for a global brand, it's got to work at scale and it's got to be verifiable. And I think that's where standards come in. That's why standards are so useful. You know, organic certification or the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol, for example, are, you know, they're verifiable. We can point back to that. We can at least roughly measure the impact of that. And so I think that's one helpful consideration as cotton industry players think about how they want to, you know, promote themselves and promote the mission and message of sustainability to brands and retailers. And then also I just hit again on inviting the cotton industry to be part of that two-way conversation. I think we should be having much more dialogue with our farming community as brands, as retailers. I think opening those doors and creating avenues to open those doors and have those conversations, however informal, you know, I just think that's so important. So being open to new conversation that could lead to shared new ways of doing things, or it could lead to sharing your own best practices, because there is a great responsibility on the brands to really listen right now to what's already being done and what's already really working, and working in a regenerative manner as opposed to just efficient or sustainable, you know, really truly healing the soil and promoting healthy ecosystems. I think that's on the brands to pay better attention so that we can help shape the standards and the policies that drive some of these practices to scale. But we do need the farming community in the room for those conversations. And so, just inviting them to be a part of the conversation, I'd say.
Well, thank you, Liza, for that. I was going to ask you one final question, but I think you may have answered it. What is, out of today and everything you've shared, what's the one key takeaway you'd want our audience to know walking out of this conversation? We've talked about a lot of different topics, but what in your mind is the one or two main takeaways you'd say you'd love our audience to remember or think about?
That's such a good one. I would say one key takeaway would be that sustainable agriculture is truly a win-win. It's improving the health of the environment around it. It is sequestering carbon. It is, you know, sustaining jobs for farming households all over the world. And it's helping brands to deliver an important message to their consumers that we care about this, that we are committed to a cleaner future. And it's not, we've got to start thinking short term about this stuff. You know, in some cases, it can take 10 years to convert a field, you know, of farming a field to regenerative, what we would call regeneratively farmed soil, healthy soil. And so we've got to start thinking a little bit longer term and long-term value. You know, there may be some short-term investment required, but it's just an investment, right? It's not just cost. And so when we can all start to think about these big ideas in terms of that longer-term vision and keeping in mind that we are working towards a win-win, sustainable agriculture has so much potential to really truly change the world. That would be my takeaway.
Well, great. Well, thank you for that. It's a great foundation to build off of. So Liza, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for a great discussion. If our listeners would like to reach out and ask you questions or have further questions, how can they do so?
Oh, please do. I'd love to get questions and continue the conversation. I'm easily accessible on LinkedIn. And you're welcome to send me an email. It's easy to remember. It's LizaShillow@gmail.com. And I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Great. Well, thank you. We'll also include that in our show notes as well after this. Bob, thanks again for today. Thank you, for as always, for joining me on the podcast here.
Thank you, Ray.
Also, thank you, our listeners, for joining us each and every time we do this. I hope you enjoyed today's show with Liza. It was a fantastic overview of sustainable agriculture and cotton and the importance of metrics and the importance of not necessarily focusing on single metrics and thinking about building a foundation for the future. So thank you for joining us. Should you have any questions for Liza or questions about the E3 Cotton's Sustainable Cotton Program, you can reach out to me anytime at e3cotton@basf.com. Also, please visit us and check us out on Instagram and Facebook at E3 Sustainable Cotton. Thank you again for joining, and we'll see you next time.